maybe think that all young people are just rebellious and they don't want to serve God, but that's not true. There's some really, really good young people. And I believe there's really, really good young people in this group here, too. Now, they might be one or two rebels. I don't know who it is, but probably your teachers do. Now, but I just want to say, find your place where God wants you to be. There's nothing greater than giving your heart to the Lord and then go on to serve Him in a way. This morning, I wanted to preach a message this morning in our Father's business. In our Father's business. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Have you made it? I just made it, so I just want to let you know. All right. There's a little passage here. It's when Jesus, when Mary and Joseph went down to Jerusalem, or up to Jerusalem, for the Passover. They went every year. Isn't it a blessing that Joseph and Mary wanted to do the things of God? They wanted to do what God wanted them to do. That's great when parents are wanting to serve the Lord and do what God wants them to do. Now, let's read in verse 41. Now, his parents, that's Joseph and Mary, says, and when his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the customs of feast. And when they had fulfilled the days and they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, when a day's journey, they sought him among his kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they returned again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. Can you imagine losing your child for 3 days? One time, I don't know how many parents we got here. See, we lost Levi in Walmart one time, and we lost Titus one time in Walmart. One time, me and my wife, we get all the kids in the car. We're in Mexico, and so we were going to church in the morning, and I looked back and I said, honey, where's Lydia? It's my daughter. And she wasn't in the car. She was 9 months old. So we're 10 minutes away from the church, or from the church, from the house. So we go back to the house. It was 10 minutes. It felt like 10 years. Went back to the house, and there she was in the house, and she was rocking in her chair, as happy as could be. Little did she know that we left her. But anyway, can you imagine that, man? Probably some of your parents have left some of your kids, right? If not, you will, probably. Brother Don, have you ever lost your kids, huh? No. Okay. All right, well, I guess some parents are better than others, right? Okay, let me get back here, all right? I'm coming down to where I'm supposed to be. And so, okay, in verse 46, and it came to pass after the 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they came, saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And this is the verse I want to look at. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my Father's business? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. This little phrase, I must be about my Father's business. With the help of God, this morning, I want to try to give you a few things here. 3 points this morning from this little phrase. Now, last night, if you were here, I had 7 points. This is going to be a lot easier. Brother Parsons is giving $10 for everybody that got it. He's going to give a dollar for these 3 points, right? He didn't agree to that. Okay. In my Father's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Would you know that Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Number one, it is a personal business. Personal business. You must do personal business with God, only you and God. Being saved, being born again, is between you and God. In Mexico, they think that the parents are supposed to go and to baptize them, and they are okay. No, no. Being baptized is not salvation. Your mother and them, no. Salvation is personal. Being saved is between you and God. When I was a little boy, my mom took me to church and took us all, my brothers and sisters, or 7 of us. Later on, she adopted 6 more. But took us to church. And I would listen to the preaching. I would go to the vacation Bible schools. We'd go to all the revivals. And I knew about God. But I didn't know him personally. I respected God. I respected the church. But I didn't want God to control my life. I never gave my heart to God. And when I came to the age of 13, I was rebellious. And I began, and I went to public school. There wasn't a Christian school in their county. Better thank God for you got a place where you can hear preaching and a place that you can come to. But you know what? I began to run around with the wrong people, my friends that I chose. I began to run around with them, and they taught me how to drink. They taught me how to smoke. And for 3 years, I was rebelling. I remember the preaching. I remember going to the church and in revival meeting. When I was 13, I would grab a hold of the pulpit or the pew under deep conviction, but I would not surrender. I didn't want to be saved. And I left the church, me and my brother. I didn't go back for 3 years. When I was 16, I'd been in so much trouble that I ended up in a juvenile detention center. But man, I tell you, when I was there, God began to deal with my heart. And I began to think about my life and how I was living. But I remember the old time preaching. I knew all what the Bible says, you need to be born again. I knew that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. But it had never been personal to me. Never was personal. And one Monday morning, the Lord was dealing with my heart. And I went over to, let me see if I can turn this thing in here. Got it. So I went over to the window, and there was a battle. It was like Satan was saying, what about your friends? If you surrender and give your life over to the Lord and be a Christian, what's all your friends going to say? There was a battle. I mean, it's so easy to be saved. But on the other hand, it's not. With a true heart given over to the Lord. And so the battle was in my soul. But I finally broke. I went over to the window and I said, oh God, I'm tired of my sin. Now I surrender. I pulled up the white flag of surrender. And I said, Lord, save me. And God saved me there. For my first time that I ever prayed from my heart, that I wanted to be saved, I wanted God to use me. I went back to my room and I said, you know what? I started praying for the first time. And I asked my mom if she'd send me a Bible. She sent me a Bible. And I began to read the Bible. And so when I got out of that place, I went back to the old country church, made a public confession, was baptized, and I've been in the church ever since. But it's personal. Have you done personal business with God today? Salvation is personal. The will of God is personal. What is God? Maybe you're saved. What's God wanting you to do? God has a will for your life. And it's personal. Not everybody's going to be a pastor or preacher, but everybody needs to be a Christian. Amen. Serve their country. Serve their church. Find your place. Now, number two. Jesus said, I must be about my business. The second point is, it's an urgent business. Because Jesus said, I must be about this business. It's a spiritual business. Your life, your spiritual life is urgent business. You got to dedicate your life. You got to consecrate your life. Because you're living in a world that wasn't like it was when we didn't have telephones. We didn't have these things. We were so poor we didn't have one on the wall. I mean, but you do. So much wickedness comes across here, but it's urgent business that you dedicate your life and you pray and you read your Bible and you get along with God. Your devotions is so important. It's an urgent business, your spiritual life. You'll not amount to anything if you don't get God's direction. It's, I must be about my Father's business. Jesus says, I've got a calling. I've got a business that God wants me to do, and I will go to the cross, and I will die on the cross for the sins of the world. And you must resolve that too. I must do my Father's business. I've got to get this thing done, and I'm going to be resolved to do that. It is urgent business. Now, some things that's not urgent business. You don't need a boyfriend or girlfriend. I was reading Brother Don's book last night. The title was, Who Should I Marry? And you know what? You shouldn't even have a boyfriend or girlfriend. I was reading in the story in the book that said, this 14-year-old girl came up and said, crying, said, I don't even have a boyfriend. Brother Don says, you don't need one. You can't get married. It's wasted emotional energy. Amen. You need to be focused on the things of God. Amen. Most of you don't even have a bicycle. Amen. How are you going to support a wife? You got land, you got a job. I mean, you got a bicycle? Then how are you going to support a wife? Kids? No, you don't even think about it. You don't even be sending text to any of these. It's not urgent business. Yep. Amen. Now, one day, God's going to send you somebody. Yep. God's going to send you somebody. You wait until God sends you the right one. Amen? Yep. Well, I was thinking about this. For God to send you the right one, you've got to be the right one. Yep. If you have kids, you want your kids to marry devils? No. Well, don't be a devil yourself. Amen. Be what God wants you to be. But that's urgent business is staying focused on things of God. Don't waste your time in these other things. Find what God. Listen, finish your education. Focus on getting a good education. I didn't have a good education. And my wife agreed to that. She said, I can barely spell. But God can use you. no matter what your abilities are, you have something that someone else doesn't have. Listen, I can't write a book, I'll never write a book. But Don can write a book, my wife can write a book, I'll never write a book. I can't play any instruments. But I can consent, but I can send a container to Guatemala of scriptures. There's things that you can do that nobody else can do. And don't put yourself down. There's some things that you can do that nobody else can do. And it's urgent business that you do that for the Lord. Now, point number three, it's the Father's business. It's the Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. It's not your will, but it's what God wants. Because it's His business. Don't live your own life and do your own thing. Seek the Lord's face. It's not that who you want to marry, it's who that God wants you to marry. It's not because the girl looks really nice. No. You know what the Bible says? Beauty is vain. But the woman that loves God is highly sought for. So it's important. It's not where I want to go, it's where, God, where do you want me to go? How come we don't have more missionaries surrendering to the mission? Listen, it's been a long time, Pastor, since I've seen someone surrender to the mission field. You know, Bob Jones University, they used to have 1,000 preacher boys. Didn't they? There were 300. I don't know if they even have 100 and some now. If they do, they're not going to have a good education. But anyway, where are they at? They're right here. If you do the Father's business, out of all of this crowd, I believe that God is calling someone to the mission field. But sometimes, like I said last night, sometimes we're too far from God to hear Him call. You know, there's obstacles to the mission field. Number one is love and marriage, finances, obstacles. Sometimes it could be, hate to say it, but parents. They want you to have a career, you know, and you're going to make all the money. But, you know, it's not about all the money, you know. God will take care of you. You see me, I ain't lost any meals. I live better in Mexico than I did in the States. We were poor growing up, I'm telling you. We didn't even have a bathroom inside the house. But now, I rented a house in Mexico. We had like 5 bathrooms and 7 bedrooms in. Right? You know. So don't listen to the lies of Satan. Oh, you're going to be poor. So, no. But you know what? You don't need this world's money. You just need, listen, Elvis Presley had everything. He had all the women, had all the money, had all the drugs. But he died in a bathroom with an overdose. He lived a sorrowful life. He was depressed all the time. So it's not about that. It's about doing my Father's business. There's no greater joy. Oh, I tell you, when I was lost and in the world, I was a miserable teenager. Miserable. But when I got saved, things changed. Even all my teachers and all the friends in high school, when I went back, you know, and they said, hey, you're different. What's wrong? Why are you always happy? Why are you all smiling all the time? I said, I don't know. It's because I had God in my life. Amen. This church is God's work. It's not our work. My ministry in Mexico is not my work. It's God's work. And He allows me to do it. Well, I want to tell you, let the Lord and do the Lord's work. It's His business. And He wants you to follow Him and to do what He wants you to do. And my prayer is that you would you would do that. Amen. That you would do that. I want to ask the pastor to come and let him give an invitation or whatever he wants to do. And, well, listen, it's personal business, it's urgent business, and it's our Father's business.
Bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. God's working in your heart today. Why don't we do business with God? And the most urgent business is salvation. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior and you want to make it personal, you want to get saved, while heads are bowed and nobody's looking around, would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died right now. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I don't know I'd go to heaven if I died right now." Is there anybody like that that slipped their hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know Christ, but I want to know that." Would you slip it up? It's personal. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking but me and God. How about if you say, "Preacher, I've never really considered God's business. I'm saved. There's no hands raised, so you must be saved, and God is your Father. Jesus has died on Calvary and made you his child." And you'd say, "I want to be about my Father's business. I'd like to make it personal, that to do his will. I never really thought about it that way. Pray for me, preacher. I really want to do what God wants me to do." Would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I really want to do what God wants me to do today." Hold it up so I can see it, so I can pray for it. I see those hands. Amen. It's amazing to me sometimes when we get in a session like this, and I saw a few hands. Well, I tell you, listen, the altar call today ought to be this. Boy, if my heart is so far away from God, I don't want to do his business. You say, "Preacher, I believe God's speaking to me about doing his will. Maybe even being full-time. Pray for me. I want God to direct me in his will." Would you slip it up and say, "I believe God wants me to be full time. I see those hands. Hold them up so I can see them. I want to pray for you." I appreciate those hands. Amen. All right. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray for you. If you raised your hand, or if you didn't today and you want to come and pray and seal something with the Lord, he's speaking to your heart, would you come to the altar as I pray this morning? Dear God, I pray for our young people this morning that are on their way. They're going to do business with you, God. But I pray now that you'd be with these that raise their hand, Lord. They want to do your business, Lord. They want to do your will. There were several young people that are desirous, Lord, to follow you. I pray that you would reveal yourself clearly in their lives, and that they would be able to make a profession, Lord, that God has called me to his work. I'm about my Father's business. Lord, there were others that they want God to speak to their heart. They're open to your will. Lord, I pray that you would use this missions conference in their life, that they would have open ears and open hearts to the gospel when it's preached, that they would hear that and realize that the world needs the same thing that they have. Lord, I pray that while you speak to their heart, God, that the Holy Spirit would direct them to know whether you want them to be full-time in your local church and working a job, or whether you want them to be full-time on the foreign field or in the pastorate in some way, God. I pray you direct, guide, and help, Lord, through these next messages and days through our missions conference, Lord. I pray that you would use them mightily. I do believe, God, that we have young people in our midst that you are calling, but they're not listening. I pray you'd open ears and open hearts. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd have free reign among our young people this week. We ask it in the name above every name. In the name of Jesus, we ask him. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it together. I have decided to follow.